Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Anything jump out at you from your observations about this group so far?
Well, it's, listen, they've meshed together pretty well. It's seems to be a pretty good clubhouse. That's important. I think that when you look at the pitching staff, they're deep there, I think, but they probably still need some starting pitching, past the five that they have. They're going to start Walker Lockett on Saturday. He's the guy that they got in the trade from Cleveland in the offseason. They'll also look at some other guys as well, but then the big three are going to hop in behind Lockett to start the next three games. But they could probably use some depth beyond starting pitching. But overall, everyone's pretty healthy and haven't been any injuries so far, so that's a good thing.
Todd Frazier mentioned when Mickey spoke to the group a little bit of a different tone in his voice. Do you notice that? Maybe a different approach for Mickey in year two?
Yeah, I think that I think he's more confident. I think the second half of last season helped him an awful lot. I really think that they'll probably instill some confidence coming into this year. He has been different. He's been very direct, very to the point. I don't think he has a lot of answers as to where guys are, definitely, or how much guys are going to play at this point in time, but I think he sees a healthy team in front of him. I think he sees, more depth in the bullpen, which certainly should help him. And a deeper team position-wise, around the diamond. So I think that's probably made him a little bit more confident. And plus, Jim Riggleman is here to help him as a bench coach. They seem to have gotten along very well. So I think that'll work out pretty well. So he knows he has to get off to a good start, but he did that last year. Unfortunately, it started to unravel after that, but he's been a little bit different this year, and the confidence has come through.
There are a lot. I mean, you mentioned kind of who's going to play where, but the infield, there's so many guys for just those four spots. I mean, how do you see it playing out, at least as the season gets rolling?
Well, I was talking to Todd Frazier yesterday, and I said, I think you're the opening day first baseman. He says, yeah, I probably am, because Jed Lowrie is going to play. And where he's going to play, it's probably going to be third base. They brought in Adani Echevarria as a kind of a backup shortstop, and I think he has a great chance of making the team. But they had talked about Lowrie, backing up Ahmed Rosario. That probably has already gone out the window. So that means that Lowrie will be playing mostly third base. I guess occasionally he could play second. But, your infield is probably Frazier, Cano, Rosario, and Jed Lowrie. I think that's probably the way it works out. I think one difficult thing that the Mets may face come cutdown time is exactly how they want to put their bench together. They're still undecided whether they're going to take seven or eight relievers in the bullpen. They may take seven at the beginning of the season. If that's the case, they'll have a five-man bench. And you've already got a couple of outfielders in Broxton and Lagares who are probably going to be here, plus a backup catcher. So it doesn't leave a heck of a lot of room. They'll have some hard decisions to make, I think.
And then you got Alonso. I mean, how does he fit into this mix, whether he's there opening day or a couple weeks later?
Yeah, I think, listen, he has to have a good camp. I think he has to make his presence known. He certainly can do that. He has amazing power. Just watching him, take batting practice down here. And again, it's BP, so people can't go too crazy. But this is a guy who hit, 36 home runs last year and drove in almost 120. So, he's pretty prolific, I think. And he's pretty confident, too, that he can make a mark here. But he does have to have a good spring training. Unless he has an outstanding spring, I still see him in the minors at least for a couple of weeks so that they can control him. But, Brody Van Wagenen, the GM, has said that if he deserves to be one of the 25 coming north, we'll take him north. He doesn't care about that extra year. We'll see. Teams say that sometimes and then change their minds later. But he's got a great opportunity to break into the starting lineup. And that presents more problems, I guess, if he does, certainly with some of the veterans. But if he's worthy of doing it, they say they'll take him.
You mentioned Brody. What have you seen from his presence so far in the first week or so? Kind of what that brings. I mean, he's obviously made a lot of bold statements, but now him physically being there and being around and talking to you guys and mingling with the players, what have you seen in the first week or so?
I've seen his presence, and he's all over the place. he's ubiquitous, let's put it that way. He's in the locker room. He's out on the fields. He's moving from field to field. He's put his imprint on this team. There's no question. The players seem to like him. He'll talk and chat with them on a regular basis. But he's very active in what he's doing on a daily basis, whether it be watching the team, talking to us in the media, talking to the players. He's always around, and he makes himself available. So that's a little bit of a switch from Sandy Alderson, who you would see, but, you know, in spots. You would see him occasionally. You would not see him every day. You probably see Brody every hour. So he's around an awful lot, and, you know, this is his team that he put together. He's pretty proud of it. So, you know, he wants to take ownership of it.
The fact that Machado ended up not in the NL East, I'm sure there's hope that Harper will do the same. A little sigh of relief from some of the Mets brass that Machado's going out west?
Yeah, they downplayed it, but I don't think there's any question that they were glad to see him go to the National League West and not in Philadelphia. I guess that might make, you know, Harper a possibility for Philadelphia, because they were always thought to have, you know, to be able to get one of the two. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know exactly where Harper is going to end up. And I'm sure they're probably hoping that he doesn't end up there. But, yeah, they were pretty happy that Machado went elsewhere. He got his money, so I guess Harper is going to get his money, too, at some point. Maybe a little bit more, too.
The last thing for you, this the whole Jacob deGrom situation. I mean, every time you see him, a picture of him or see video of him, he's always got a smile on his face. I mean, if the two sides don't figure something out before the deadline of opening day, I mean, could you really see, I mean, you're around him certainly more than most. Could you really see him, this innings limit, becoming a situation? I mean, the guy just likes to pitch and play baseball, right?
Yeah, I don't. I've said that it's hard for me to envision a guy who went out there last year, every start, never threw his teammates under the bus, as he was involved in 0-0 and 1-0 games throughout the entire season. You know, lost a lot of games that he easily could have won, you know, with just a little bit of offense. I can't see this guy handing the ball to Mickey Callaway after six innings and say, you know, that's it for me tonight. He's just too much of a competitor for that. I do think that this will get done. I certainly hope it gets done well before March 28th. The thing that I guess would bother me if it doesn't get done is just the message that it sends to everybody else in that clubhouse. You have one of the best pitchers, if not the best pitcher in baseball, and if you can't get him signed by opening day, when, you know, he's more than willing to stay here in New York and has stated, you know, several times over and over that this is where he wants to be. If you can't get that done, what does it say to the other people that are in that clubhouse? I don't think it sends a very good message. So hopefully it gets done. I think it will get done, and hopefully it gets done pretty quickly.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.